Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, so all that we have invested, we're going to lay all on the line tonight. For us, together, for each other, all right? The journey starts tonight.
We'll try to tie this game.
this in our moment. Let's take this and roll with it.
Super Bowl 46 is underway.
Here in the early going, the Giants dominating the line of scrimmage. That's Tom Coughlin's style.
Throws one. Touchdown, Giants. Victor Cruz on the slam.
That's a heck of a throw and a heck of a catch by Mario Manningham.
He's given the Giants the lead, but it was an almost reluctant touchdown by Bradshaw. And now the Super Bowl is going to come down to a Hail Mary. Brady, he is one. The jump ball, and it's incomplete. And the ball game's over. Finished is what Tom Coughlin said, and Eli Manning and the Giants have finished off the Patriots in the Super Bowl for the second time in 4 years.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. The fastest 6 minutes in sports. Sitting at the helm. 619-639-4747. Your number to call and join the party. Welcome in. A lot of things going on, obviously. Fun stuff in Major League Baseball. The Detroit Tigers are on their way to the World Series, taking out the Yankees. Never quite saw that coming out like that. Inside story, A-Rod being benched. Is he going to be a Yankee next year? All contentions indicate he'd like to be. Of course, when you've got $114 million of guaranteed money sitting on the table, where else would you want to be other than the people that can obviously pay you that money? $114 million still guaranteed. The man's 37 years old. That's not a bad run, young man. Not bad at all. And for his slumps, you know, there are all kinds of pundits out there. I think Kobe Bryant said it best, that when you're the best in the game, sometimes just because you're the best doesn't mean you know you're the best. And that may be the difference between, you know, guys like, you know, closers like Kobe, who won the ball, Michael Jordan won the ball, you know, A-Rod in October doesn't seem to want to strike the ball. I don't know what that is. Maybe it is mental. But anyway, that'll be on the dock today. WNBA, Fever and Lynx, rocking and rolling. And, of course, it's week 7 in the National Football League. But we get started today with a wild, wild day in college football. For those of you who are Texas and Baylor fans, you got to watch an absolute show last night. We're going to get into all that and a whole lot more. Welcome to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
All your documents, photos, movies, and music at your fingertips all the time. That's the power of the cloud. That's the power of HP WebOS. HP, everybody on.
With Turbo HD by Dish Network, you get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Suite Life on Deck. With over 120 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
Back in tow, here we go. Let's rock and roll. Hey, that was kind of good. Back in tow, rock and roll. I'm going to have to use that one more often. That was kind of cool. All right. NCAA football yesterday. The Texas-Baylor game. Got a great offense in Baylor. Their defense, not so good. They're giving up tons of points. Boy, are those games fun to watch. Number 25, and we'll break it down, 25 all the way down to 1. 25, Texas ekes out the win. 56-50 over Baylor in a game that saw just, again, 106 points total offense and a whole lot of fun. If you're a fan, you had to love enjoying that. I saw a bunch of the streams last night, even all the way up here, that we're just talking about. If you're not watching this game, I don't know what you're watching. It was just a lot of fun. A couple of shockers. Oklahoma State, a 31-10 winner over ISU. Again, it's kind of a shock. Number 24, ISU falls. Number 22, Boise, 32-7 over UNLV. Number 21, Cincinnati loses to Toledo, 29-23. Stanford bounces back from its loss against Notre Dame to beat Cal, 21-3. Clemson, a 37-7 over Tech. TCU, Texas Tech 50. No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. The numbers got flipped. Texas Tech ekes out the win. 17, Texas Tech beats TCU 56-53. Number 16, Louisville stays unbeaten, beating USF 27-25. Rutgers, a 35-10 winner over Temple. FSU, I believe that's Florida State, wins. Yeah, come on, Vince. Over Miami, 33-20. Mississippi State stays unbeaten, a 45-3 winner. Georgia, number 11, Georgia, takes out Kentucky 29-24. USC, number 10, takes out Colorado 50-6. Number 9 puts up 52 on Kansas University. That would be Oklahoma, a 52-7 winner. Oregon State, these Oregon programs are really, really impressive. Say what you want to about, not getting enough love, not getting enough hype. Well, at number 8, Oregon State's a 21-7 winner, and I believe they're still unbeaten as well. Texas A&M loses. Number 8, Texas A&M. Well, again, great football game. LSU 24-19 over Texas A&M. Game that could have easily gone either way. LSU gets it done. LSU is not – I mean, mind you, LSU plays – 6 of their games are with top 10 opponents throughout the year. So for them to be ranked number 6 and hanging in there as a one-loss team, still pretty impressive. But they have the toughest schedule in college football, bar none. Number 5, Notre Dame ekes out the win over BYU 17-14 to stay undefeated as well. One of the most pleasant surprises in college football this year, Kansas State University, a 55-14 winner over West Virginia. West Virginia was 13th ranked in the nation and a high-flying offense, shut down by Kansas State yesterday. Number 3, the Oregon Ducks, yet another Oregon program, again, incredibly strong. It takes out Arizona State, 43-21. Number 2, Florida takes care of number 7, South Carolina, 44-11. And as it's getting a little commonplace, but number 1, Alabama just rolls whoever they play right now, 44-13. So if the season were halting, or whatever you want to say right now, 1-2 in your BCS championship would be Alabama versus Florida. It'd probably be a very, very good game because Florida found its swag again. Florida's a very good football team, but they're not Alabama. As a matter of fact, I would venture to say that based purely on numbers alone, the only teams that might give Alabama the least bit of notion, and this is not an indictment, Florida's got a good football team, and their defense shut down South Carolina, which is also a very good football program. But I would venture to tell you that it would take a team with the offensive firepower of an Oregon, the offensive firepower, maybe even, I don't think Kansas State is physically big enough to handle Alabama, but I certainly think it would be a lot of fun to watch. And funny things can happen in college football. All it takes is, a Florida slip up somewhere between now and December, and you could have a whole season. And of course, the best team in college football that gets absolutely no love because they're currently under NCAA sanction, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Let's run down the ranking. We know new rankings are going to come out soon enough. We know that to be a fact. But I want to talk to you a little bit briefly just about these college rankings going into this weekend. If for nothing more than to show you the dynamic between what happens when you're in trouble versus what happens when you run the season clean. Now, on both the AP Top 25 and the BCS standings, Alabama sits atop all, and that makes perfect sense. The BCS has Florida at number 2, and again, I got to believe that's strength of schedule. The AP Top 25 has Oregon number 2, and that makes perfect sense because, again, Oregon is established and they're undefeated. But they're not the only undefeated team in Oregon. Number 3 in the AP Top 25 is Florida. Number 3 on the other side of the BCS, the one that matters to most of those pundits, is indeed Oregon. Number 4 is Kansas State. Number 5, Notre Dame. Number 6, doing both. Number 7 is South Carolina. I was going into yesterday. And, of course, number 7 on the AP Top 25, which does not consider itself, a voting piece of the BCS title, is Ohio State. Ohio State is 7-0, and Urban Meyer has done an amazing job of turning that program around literally in one offseason. However, the team is under sanction and cannot participate in postseason play. So they were going to be in the AP. I mean, they could have easily, and it still may happen. It should, again, any of the teams ahead of them slip up, be in the top 5 programs in the nation and go nowhere. And this is going to be this way for a couple of years. In the meantime, programs like South Carolina with Spurrier, well, he had a rough day at the office yesterday. But you know what? That program is on its way in the right direction, too. A couple of good recruiting classes, and you're going to be talking about South Carolina as a perennial powerhouse for some time to come. Again, it was Spurrier that built Florida program, and despite moving him and got the luxury of having titles to Urban Meyers of the world. Please understand that it was Spurrier that built Florida and built that whole process of recruiting and doing such a great job with Florida. Then you got some one and a couple of two loss teams down the way here that, you know, yeah, things have gone differently for those guys. Certainly better outcomes for the year. But again, it's college football. And while at the end of the day, you're in college to get an education, man, is it fun to see programs do well, especially programs like Oregon State. Oregon State is undefeated. They came into this weekend at number 8 in the polls. Now, I don't believe anyone in front of them slipped up. Well, with the exception of South Carolina, who had to play in Florida. So they will get, well, South Carolina came in 9 in the AP 25, but they did come in 7 in the BCS, so they will get a bump there. And ultimately, it's just the quality of the bowl game that you're going to get to participate in. So, again, I humbly submit to you, I've got family living in that great state of Oregon, and this is a beautiful state, beautiful campuses, both Oregon and Oregon State, and an exciting time for both those programs right now. And for you domers out there, my family, Tillman Ball, and the Notre Dame heads out there, yeah, you're undefeated. Yeah, you're going to be 7-0. I don't think you're going to go anywhere because everyone in front of you rolled their opponents except you. It is conceivable. Well, I guess it really isn't because LSU didn't really impress to no end yesterday. So you and LSU, Notre Dame and LSU probably aren't going to go anywhere. As a matter of fact, you could conceivably say they could actually fall in the AP Top 25 based on the lackluster win. Ohio State could easily vault itself into number 5 in that poll. But again, it has no shot at postseason play. So it's still a nice thing to hang your hat on. Those kids in Ohio State have taken Urban Meyer's whole persona on and done it the right way. And it's just a beautiful thing to see how they play out. For those of you who are Illinois fans, well, we look to a future. It has not been not been something we want to brag about this year. They do have some talent in the squad, and you'll probably hear from some of those guys a couple of years when they make that transition from college to the professional level. And our best wishes to those guys. But time to move on. 17 past the hour in your Sunday morning, the pregame show before the pregame show. Let's talk a little bit about the National Hockey League. Still in a lockout, and the picture on the NHL sites for ESPN, it's funny. I mean, the Chicago guy, they have the United Center literally with big bolts of locks on it, and it's completely locked out. Well, there is talks that are continuing to go on. Unfortunately, this past Friday, talks did not go well. Games are now starting to be canceled at least through November the 1st, which, yeah, and one bright spot is the 2010 Chicago Blackhawks. They won a Stanley Cup championship, have done something pretty amazing to raise charity. They're getting together later on this month, actually in about 5 days, those players that can make it, just to do a charity game. They're going to get some NHL players from some other programs. They'll throw a team together, and they'll raise money for some great causes in the Chicago market. And that's just the way Chicago teams have always been. Whether they were good, whether they were bad, it's never been a question about their incredible opportunities, and they seize those moments and do right by them. So, absolutely an amazing thing for the 2010 Blackhawks to, again, for my generation who came up watching the Blackhawks for a lot of years, 2010 will always be etched in my mindset. Very seldom do I go out and buy a lot of paraphernalia, but, you know, I currently have that. I have that coat for that 2010 squad because, again, taking care of the Flyers in 6, just impressive. Anyway, a lot of fun there. But that's nothing else to talk about where the NHL is concerned. And it's sad. We're really talking about, you know, an Edmonton squad, a Calgary squad. We should be talking about the LA Kings trying to defend a title. And unfortunately, there's nothing going on, nothing good going on. And again, the nuts and bolts, the inside and outside. You know what? I'm just not going to even spend time and spend the energy to bore you or bug you with it. It's just not, there's nothing there to talk about. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747 is the number to join us. Let's move to baseball and something a little more positive. Yeah, now, it's fun to see a team like Detroit, whose, you know, payroll is dwarfed by the team that they're taking out. But the Detroit Tigers literally have basically slammed the door completely shut on the big vaunted New York Yankees. Live from Comerica Park, Detroit takes a 4-run fourth inning and literally just, you know, the lack of pine face here, says to the Yankees, it's time to go home, take you, take the big payroll, take Alex Rodriguez, and go sit down somewhere. Matt Scherzer gets the win. CC Sabathia takes the loss as the Tigers get the 8-1 win and are now on their way to the World Series. Wow. That's what I love to tell you, that the Yankees even had a chance, but they got swept by the Tigers, a Tiger team who, well, what can I tell you? You may have the hottest hitter in baseball, and, you know, with, and now his name draws, that's funny, now I draw a blank on his name. That's hilarious. All right, well, let's move on to Prince Rick, because here's a young man who left Milwaukee to go play with the Tigers, and what does he do? He gets a shot at the World Series. Not a bad move, young man. Not a bad at all. Miguel Cabrera, thank you very much. Cabrera batting third behind Infante, then followed by Fielder. Yeah, I can't say that they've got a – they don't have that murderer's row. They don't. They don't. That's not the case. But they have great talent, great role players, and they are so balanced. I mean, Jackson 2-for-4 yesterday. Infante 2-for-5. Cabrera 1-for-5, but with 2 RBIs. Fielder 2-for-5. Just balance. I mean, you look on the Yankee side, Ichiro 0-for-3. Swisher 1-for-4. Robinson Cano 0-for-4. Teixeira 0-for-3. Even Raul Ibanez, who we all love, 0-for-2. You know, I mean, pinch hitting. And again, A-Rod got into the game. Two at bats, nothing. Just how good was Detroit's pitching? Just how strong was the Verlander, the Scherzer? Shut down. You know, and you know, you look down and see the guys who pitched yesterday. You see an Octavio Dotel, and you forget that Dotel found his way onto this team, the Tigers. I'd be surprised if we don't find the Tigers as the favorite going into the World Series, should it indeed be the Cardinals, who currently lead the Giants 3-2. The Giants showing a little bit of chutzpah, hanging in there. But it looks like the Cardinals will probably win that. Again, you can never tell. It is baseball, so we may be looking up tomorrow, and that series could easily be 3-3. But right now, Tigers in the World Series. And the Cardinals, when there's, let's see, it was 8-3. Wainwright beats Lincecum, and that game was the 18th from Busch Stadium. So that series continues. Nothing really fancy about the Cardinals. They don't blow the doors off you. They just play good fundamental baseball. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how, if that is the World Series, you know, Cardinals and Tigers, be interesting to see how that plays itself out. Now, let's give you a little bit of women's basketball love. Now, here's the thing. I don't have, guys, how much, now we're going to talk about this, and we're not going to have a score, which I think is going to be interesting. Let's get some, we need some more information. A little bit more. We know about the Tamika catching situation. Let's see, there's a game tonight, which is fine. But what about the previous game on the 19th? That outcome. Fever, 76-59 over the Lynx. I'm not quite sure I quite understand why the WNBA season is as short as it is. You know, I'm looking at a 34-game season. Yeah. Anyway, it is what it is. The fact of the matter is, Fever route the Lynx and are one game away from the WNBA title. And Brunson, 12 points, Brunson, 9 rebounds. The Fever Zelda had 30 points, Larkin 15 rebounds, Davenport 4. Again, all Fever. That's all you can tell. That's all I can tell you. All Fever within one game of a WNBA title. And, you know, any championship in any league these days is hard. It's a hard thing to accomplish. And kudos to those who pressed the envelope and got that far. Now to the fun things. Okay. So we've got your football out the way. We've got your, well, I'm assuming your football. We've got your college football out of the way. We've got your NHL hockey out of the way. We've got your baseball out of the way. I think we just do this because we want to wipe the slate clean so we can really, truly, really, really, truly get into what all of you really want to just talk about, which, of course, is the National Football League, Week 7. Is that right? Week 7 is upon us on a Sunday. For those of you in Middle Earth, your game's not till tomorrow night when the Lions and the Bears strapping on, but some fun ones went down the pipe today. getting started with Tennessee at Buffalo, Cleveland at Indy, Green Bay at St. Louis, Arizona, Minnesota. RG3 and the Skins take on the Giants. That'll be fun to watch. New Orleans, Tampa Bay, Dallas, Carolina, Baltimore taking on a really offended Houston Texans team. That'll be fun to watch. Your late games today, Jacksonville, Oakland, the Jets in New England, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and, of course, the game's already played Thursday night. The Niners took out Seattle 13-6. And, of course, Monday night, what we think may be the unsung Donnybrook of a game, Detroit goes into Chicago to see if the Bears are as good as the record says they are. So we have some fun stuff from our friends over at ESPN. Of course, we get the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. You get that every single week. But most of you guys who play fantasy sports want what we tend to offer you more than anything else, which is your... How'd it go? For those of you who will basically do your fantasy rosters. And I know you guys can't live without it, and we appreciate the fact that you get it right here. Only on the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. 26 past the hour. Let's get into the ranks. We are rolling today. Doesn't it seem like something's missing? I'm not sure what it is, but it does seem like something is truly missing. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me. According to the list, everything's rocking and rolling, everything's done, but it just seems like something's missing. Anyway, rolling on. Week 7 rankings. For those of you who are not sure what to do, who to start, as always, we start with the defense and work our way back to the quarterbacks. So some of this may surprise you, some of this may not. Again, these are pundits, you know, Barry Harris, Carabell, Cockcroft from ESPN, Golink, Shear, Hill, all these guys that are supposedly the experts. Yeah. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're good. Here are their picks. So, top 10 defenses, we break them down for you. Number 10 this week, the Detroit Lions taking a trip into Chicago. That's all because they know that on any given day, Cutler can throw four picks. Number 9, the New York Giants against the Skins. Number 8, the Ravens. Number 7, the Patriots. Number 6, the Steelers. That's at Cincinnati. Number 5, the Cardinals. Number 4, Green Bay. Number 3, the Houston Texans at home. Number 2, the Minnesota Vikings defense at home against Arizona. And number 1 this week, really no surprise to anyone, the Chicago Bears. And if you haven't been paying attention, that Bears defense is as advertised. Make no mistake about it. Anytime the defense has scored 5 touchdowns, your offense has only scored 6 in the last few games, you've got a pretty good defense. They've given up 2 offensive touchdowns in the last few weeks, and their defense has put up 5. So what does that tell you about the defense? Okay. We'll go back on there, so, but it only does happen Monday night. Anyway, to the kickers now. Number 10 this week, Phil Dawson out of Cleveland. Number 9, Distin Tucker in Baltimore. Number 8, Mason Crosby in Green Bay. Number 7, Robbie Gould of the Bears. Number 6, Sebastian Janikowski in Oakland. Number 5, Lawrence Tynes of the Giants. Number 4, Mr. Leg himself, Greg Zuerlein in St. Louis. Number 3, Blair Walsh in Minnesota. Number 2, Jason Hanson in Detroit. Number 1 this week, based purely on the matchup, is Steven Gostkowski in New England. To the tight ends we go. Cruising at 29 past the hour. Number 10 this week, Jared Cook at the Tennessee tight end. Number 8, Jermaine Gresham at Cincinnati. Number 8, Brandon Pettigrew in Detroit, who really should have had a lot more love throughout his career. Number 7, Scott Chandler in Buffalo. Number 6, Heath Miller in Pittsburgh. Number 5, Kyle Rudolph. Number 4, Owen Daniels. Number 3, Aaron Hernandez. Number 2, Jason Witten. And number 1 this week, and, well, with the sitting down of Jimmy Graham, why not? Number 1 this week is Rob. Really know what's going on with Graham. I guess he's been dinged up, so not necessarily getting a lot of love. And I think the Saints are on a bye this week. To the wideouts. I have noise in my headset. What's that all about? All right, let's talk wide receivers. This week, number 10. Actually, we're going to give you a little love. Let's expand that list because there's a lot going on based on projections. We're going to go top 15. Number 15 this week, Andre Johnson of Houston. Number 14, Dez Bryant. Number 13, Hakeem Nicks. Number 12, Jordy Nelson. Number 11, Mike Wallace. Number 10, Reggie Wayne this week. Number 9, Vincent Jackson in Tampa Bay. Number 8, Marcus Colston. Okay, so New Orleans is not on a bye. I guess the Graham must be heard. All right, Colston again at Tampa Bay. Number 7, Larry Fitzgerald. Number 6, Wes Welker. Number 5, Brandon Marshall in Chicago. Number 4, Percy Harvin in Minnesota. Number 3, Calvin Johnson. Getting a lot more than these guys here. Number two this week, Victor Cruz. You expect a lot from that one. Number one, AJ Green at Cincinnati. That's got to be purely based on the matchup. I don't know that I'd put AJ Green number one this week. I think I might, you know, lean toward a Victor Cruz, you know, followed closely by Calvin Johnson just because of the matchup. The Bears have been prone to give up yards between the 20s, not give up a lot of touchdowns. Brandon Marshall, on the other hand, getting from Jay Cutler, he's that big target. With Alshon Jeffries out, you could see big numbers from Marshall, who tends to like going up against the corners in Detroit. And Wes Welker, number six. And if Larry Fitzgerald had a quarterback to throw to him, he'd probably be perennial number one, number two, just about every single week. So there's your love for your running backs. For your wide receivers. Let's move to your running backs. Thirty-one past your hour. I'm not sure exactly. Was that a Wrangler commercial? Okay. Here's what it is. We're moving on. They're running backs this week. And again, a lot of this is purely driven by matchup. Matter of fact, let's expand this list to 15 as well. Number 15 this week, Darren Sproles. 14, Felix Jones. Seriously? Okay. Number 13, Ahmad Bradshaw, if he's out of the doghouse. Number 12, Chris Johnson in Tennessee. Number 11, C.J. Spiller, if he's back. Number 10, Dougie Martin in Tampa Bay. Number 9, Stephen Ridley in New England. I do like Stephen Ridley this week. Number 8, Alfred Morris in Washington against the Giants. Giants tend to give up some plays. Number 7, Matt Forte at Detroit, playing at home against Detroit. Number 6, Trent Richardson. That's purely matchup driven with Cleveland at Indianapolis. Number 5, Adrian Peterson, Minnesota, playing home against Arizona. Number 4, Darren McFadden. Number 3, Maurice Jones-Drew. Number 2, Ray Rice this week. And number 1, and seemingly number 1 just about every week these days, is Arian Foster in Houston. It doesn't seem to matter who he plays. Of course, the defense without Ray Lewis will be quite as vicious, but they still will be relatively aggressive. So I'm to believe that Suggs is back in that defense, so it could be a little fun there. But again, it's Arian Foster number 1 this week for your running backs. Now, as I look down the list, and I'm only doing this for posterity's sake, they have Mikel LeSure, who came out of Illinois, playing on the Lions, at 19 against Chicago. The highest ranking that he's ever had was a 16. The Lions don't seem to know how to run the football, but that's nothing new for the Detroit Lions. If you can name me, take Barry Sanders out of the equation, when was the last time the Detroit Lions had a running back rush for, say, 150? That didn't come out of the – I mean, I'd love to see – give me a running back in the Detroit Lions that ran for a back-to-back 100-yard games, all right? And the last time that happened, if you can do that, I'll go 619-639-4747. If you can do that, 619-639-4747, I'll find something to give you, all right, if you can pull that one off, because I think that one's going to be a bit of a reach for most people. I can think of one that came close. But I don't believe he had two games of 100 yards. I'm almost sure he didn't. But I'm willing to look that up if you can give me that call, 619-639-4747. If you want to share that, stick your head in that guillotine. Good luck. If you're a Lions fan, your quarterback is when he's upright, he's awfully good. Your wide receiver, Calvin Johnson, awfully good. Your running game, I know when you went out and drafted LeSure, you thought you had something special, and all he did was basically sit out the majority of the year with an injury. I don't think he's going to be much of a factor today. I think you do get a job at Best Back at some point, and that'll give you at least one more weapon, but the Lions are in trouble this season. We thought take back, but it was a major league. Anyway, all that talk about running backs is over and done with now. Let's move on. 34 past your hour. Let's get into your quarterbacks, and let's be really, really nice and kind to these guys, because it's going to be, for some of them, it's going to be a rough day. And we're going to give you 15 of the quarterbacks, too, just because we got plenty of time to do so. So number 15 today, Josh Freeman, Tampa Bay. Number 14, Cutler, the Bears, going up against the Lions. Number 13, Matt Schaub. Number 12, Joe Flacco. Number 11, Andy Dalton in Cincinnati. Number 10, Matthew Stafford in Detroit. Number 9, Tony Romo in Dallas. Number 8, Andrew Luck gets some love, going up against Cleveland, purely matchup driven. Number 7, Cam Newton goes up against Dallas. Okay. Number 6, Ben Roethlisberger. You know, let me go back to number 7, Cam Newton, and that awkward pause is because DeMarcus Ware may not be having the year that people anticipated he would have, but that's still DeMarcus Ware, and that defense has got some pride, and I would like to believe that Cam Newton and Mark is going to become friends by the time this game is over. Number six, Ben Roethlisberger, Pittsburgh gets Cincinnati. Number five, Tom Brady taking on the Jets. Number four, Eli Manning taking on the Skins. Number three, Robert Griffin III taking on the Giants. And I'm not sure I quite understand why they would offend the Giants defense like that, but okay. Number two, Drew Brees, or if you want to call him 1 and 1A, going up against Tampa Bay. And number one this week, Aaron Rodgers. And now let me tell you something about Aaron Rodgers being number one against St. Louis. While it may be strictly matchup that's got him sitting up there, what they discovered last week playing against the Houston Texans is that when Aaron Rodgers and his wide receivers are in the game and they're into the game, that is probably the most unstoppable offense that you'll see in the National Football League. They took out Houston like Houston was truly an expansion team last week. And we understand that Brian Cushing is out and you know they might be missing a few pieces. But what we saw was a surge in Aaron Rodgers just putting it on a is a beast. And I know Greg Jennings is out and they miss him a lot, but if JerMichael Finley can catch the ball, I don't know how you stop Green Bay. You just have to realize that Green Bay's defense is not as good as it once was, even though they've got some stars with Woodson and Matthews on the other side of the ball. Teams have been able to put up points on Green Bay. They've been able to literally slow down Aaron Rodgers' offensive attack. And I don't know if it's Rodgers or if it's just the typical league adjustment, and he has to adjust. But what we saw last week was nothing more than a smack in the face to a Houston Texans team that thought they had a chance to go 6-0 and woke up 5-1, totally embarrassed by the Green Bay offense. So let's see how both of those teams play today. But I would venture if Aaron Rodgers is on his game, it could be a really, really long day for our St. Louis Rams. And again, I say long day because St. Louis is playing with a lot of pride. Jeff Fisher's got the team flying around. They're an exciting team with Bradford as their quarterback. Steven Jackson is still a horse, the running back. You probably can't name both wide receivers from the squad. I wouldn't be mad at you for that. You probably just can't. Amendola, has been in and out a lot this season. But anyway, notwithstanding all that stuff, that fun stuff, as we like to say, look for the Rams to make this game interesting because the Packers defense just is not as good as it once was. And if that holds to form, you could easily see a game where, you know, if Sam Bradford and the Rams have the ball last, you know, they may have a shot to win this game. But it's all going to come down to how big that gap is. And does Aaron Rodgers and that offense literally pull it away? And I mean, just put it on him and put it on him and keep putting it on him. Guys like Long are going to play their hearts out because that's how they're wired to do so. I just don't know if they have enough horsepower to run with Green Bay. But it'll be fun to watch. And that's the glory of sports. It is always, always, always much fun to watch. Our 7 minutes inside of the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, courtesy of our friends at ESPN. So we're going to do that. What else we got to talk about? What else? The Monday Night Affair, Chicago and Detroit in the Windy City. Brandon Marshall talking about he wouldn't want his quarterback to change a thing. He's got 34 receptions this year, and his partner, Alshon Jeffrey, prior to the hand incident, was coming into his own. So the Bears will wind up blowing the dust off some other guys that, again, have had no problem so far stepping up. The Bears have been able to do this, and they've done it several weekends now, where they found ways to use Devin Hester to get him deep, and Cutler has really put it on him really, really well. And, you know, Hester has made some amazing catches. And, again, you've got all that speed, all that talent. You naturally, you just want the opportunity. And it has allowed the Bears to pull away. And we cannot go far without talking about what the Bears' defense has meant not only to that team, but to the whole North and the old Monsters of the Midway persona. Back-to-back weekends now against Jacksonville. And who the Bears just crushed? Jacksonville's worse, and against Dallas, Tony Romo and the Cowboys. Both Lance Briggs and Charles Tillman with pick sixes, both of them in the game. The first four games of the season, Tim Jennings was your Defensive Player of the Year before they started realizing that J.J. Watt was a really good guy in terms of sacks. But Tim Jennings and Charles Tillman and the corners, your safeties with Major Wright and Chris Conte playing literally out of their minds right now, and they're confident. And as is always the case, the more you play, the more confident you get. So when Lovie Smith tells you that they haven't played their best football yet, that's almost scary. That is, because that defense, especially the defensive line, how is it that a defensive line does not react to its offense but literally dictates to an offense? These are flashbacks of the 85 and 86 season Bears. The defense literally told you what you could and couldn't do. That's how good they've played. That's how good they've been. Can offenses do something about that? Seemingly between the 20s, that's not much of an issue. It's trying to get into the end zone that most teams seem to have major league issues. And then you start to add the takeaways and the turnovers these guys have been putting on other teams. Did the Bears have a hard schedule this year? It doesn't seem to be as hard. But, again, it's a National Football League. Every team is good. Every team has talent. We found out that the Indianapolis Colts actually beat Green Bay a few weeks ago. That's a pretty good football team with Andrew Luck. That's a team with some pride. Reggie Wayne, Mathis, and those guys, they got a little heart. And for them to actually take out Green Bay was pretty impressive. So to know that the Bears handled them, and again, understand that when the Bears went to Green Bay, they kind of laid an egg. What comes out of that game in terms of a learning experience for those players is the Green Bay won the game 23-10. Three Mason Crosby field goals, a fake punt, and one offensive touchdown. I'm not going to be one of those homers that wants to break it down as if it made a big difference, but stats don't lie. Numbers don't lie. And there are two great defenses playing right now in the National Football League. One of them's in Chicago. And that's purely numbers. The other one was in Houston until this most recent egg lay battle that they just did against Green Bay. So Green Bay's gotten healthier, they're stronger, and they're going to, again, when they're on their game, one of the best. One of the best offenses you'll ever see. Who plays that offense? To the hill, the Chicago Bears defense. And, give Lovie Smith and that coaching staff credit. Rod Marinelli may never, ever become another head coach again because the Bears may pay him as a defensive coordinator like a head coach. He's been that good. Mike Tice has settled into this offensive coordinator role quite nicely for the Chicago Bears. If things were to hold the form, you could easily see another 30-point effort out of Chicago. And the question then is, how much did that defense give up? Or how much did that defense dictate? How many turnovers did Matthew Stafford, offer up? And more importantly, did Matthew Stafford make it through the game? Because history has shown us he doesn't typically make it through a 16-game season. He and Peppers and Briggs, they have a reputation. They have history. They have true history here. All right? The Bears may not go out there with the intent of knocking this guy out, but if he holds onto that football too long, I can't name who the Lions' backup is, but you might see a sighting on Monday night. All right. Anyway, love to see everybody stay healthy and get through the game. And, we'll rock and roll from there. All right. Cool beans. Back after this.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Getting the whole family ready for high-definition TV is easy with Turbo HD by Dish Network. You get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Suite Life on Deck. With over 120 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mmm.
Germany?
Mmm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mmm.
Or Mars? What about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Back on the ride, 44 past the hour, the pregame show before the pregame shows. If you're watching your Fox, which will be your NFC games, you've got about 15 minutes to get ready to rock and roll for that. If you're doing the whole AFC thing on CBS, 15 minutes before that, NBC will have the Sunday Night Affair, and, of course, ESPN will have the Monday Night Affair, the dance and the shine. That felt good to say that, the dance in the shy. For those of you in the lawyer, that's the short for Chicago. All right. Anyway, 45 past the hour. Our friends ESPN offered up as boys during football season the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. 4 minutes of wonderful radio entertainment that you can't find anywhere else right now but here. So let's roll them now.
The Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks in 3, 2, 1.
These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, an ESPN radio exclusive.
Hi, Colin, here we go for week 7, and for this week, my theme is the following. Do not poke the sleeping bear.
Well, that's just great. Bears. Now you're putting the whole station in jeopardy.
I'm not sure if that's exactly the expression.
I don't think it is.
What do? You don't wake a sleeping bear, you don't poke a tiger, you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't do a lot of things.
The electric fence.
And you know what you don't want to do? You don't want to make Aaron Rodgers mad. Well, now they've gone and done that.
Hey, Rodgers!
Aaron Rodgers got mad, and he went out and put a whooping on the Houston Texans. So what he's going to do to St. Louis on the road this week will probably be illegal in several states.
The next scene is not considered suitable for family viewing. It contains scenes of violence involving people's heads and arms getting chopped off, their ears nailed to trees, and their toenails pulled out in slow motion.
This is exactly where he wants to play, in a dome, controlled setting. He is going to explode all over that St. Louis defense. Cannonball! The Packers giving 5.5 on the road. I'd like them to win this game by 21 points. Give me the Packers and Aaron Rodgers in a huge way on the road.
You want the Packers to win?
No.
You don't?
No.
Greeny, I'm going to go to Houston. And you know, Houston is where my NFL career started.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Should we take a moment and go over the highlights of my career?
How about new?
No way. Houston is hosting Baltimore, the only two teams with a winning record in the AFC. Houston coming off the embarrassment against the Green Bay Packers, and Baltimore losing players on defense to injury.
I think my legs might be broken, but I'm trying to stand up. Oh, yes, they are broken.
I like Houston in a rebound game after the Green Bay loss. I like them at home in this one. I think they'll put up points on that Baltimore defense. Give me Houston. They're giving 6 to Baltimore.
Let me hear you say, that ain't right.
That ain't right.
And then finally, as we go head-to-head, Golic, I got 2 letters and a number for you. The letters are R and G, and the number is 3. The Washington Redskins swept the season series from the Giants last year, and that was without RG3 at quarterback.
No way. Yes way.
RG3 is a sensational player, and he's getting 6.5 on the road in a matchup where the Redskins traditionally do well, and the Giants always have that bad game just when you least expect it.
Inquisition.
The Giants are a very good team and may well win the Super Bowl, but they're not going 14-2. I think that they lay an egg. After the huge win on the road in San Francisco, I like the Redskins getting 6.5 points, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if they win the game straight up.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
They're on a roll. They're going to continue to roll, just like they did at the end of the season, to get into the playoffs and then make it to the Super Bowl.
Bone rolling, baby.
They're playing well now. That offense is putting up points. I know that Washington defense is playing well. I do think the defense for the Giants will contain RG3, certainly better than others have.
RG3, electrified all the way into the end zone. Can you believe it?
The Giants at home given 6.5. Go ahead and give them. I think the Giants win it by at least a touchdown.
Can you do this for me every single game? Can you do this? Coach, not only will I do it for you, I'll do it for you.
And those are your Week 7 Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
You know what? And that one was too wordy. That one was too wordy. That was flawed from the ground up. It wasn't funny, and we'll work on it and get back to you.
Mike and the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. Joaquin and Urinaga, Mike Urinaga with the work on the radio. Paul Contador Ryan put it together on TV. For the season, I'm 4-7-1. Golic is 4-6-2.
Oh, boy.
I'm right on your tail, Big
Yeah.
Man. I got Green Bay giving 5.5 at St. Louis. Golic is giving 6 with Houston over Baltimore. We go head-to-head on the Redskins and Giants. I'm taking 6.5 points with the Redskins on the road. Golic is giving the points.
That was better. Sorry about that, guys. Yeah, we kind of got rolling, got out of sorts there. I apologize. 10 left in the ride. So there's your Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. So again, hopefully that helps you in some of your decisions. But let's run it down as only we can run it down, okay, which is the games this week, who's going to win and why. Now, you saw Thursday night San Francisco's defense shut down Seattle 13-6. The 1 o'clock game today, Tennessee goes to Buffalo. Pick them, all right? If I'm a gambling man, I stay away from that football game completely. Just Chris Johnson, C.J. Spiller, if he's healthy and is all there, fine. But right now, stay away from that football game. Dallas at Carolina. There's no reason Dallas shouldn't go in here and just roll Carolina, except that it's Dallas, and Dallas has yet to truly identify who they are and what their identity is going to be. Felix Jones is a starting running back now. I'm not sure what's going on there. I don't know if DeMarco Murray is hurt or what, but he's not starting. And Cam Newton sits on the other side, and he's at home. If I'm a gambling man, I do not know what the spread is, but I'm thinking Carolina probably wins this game, but only because Dallas has yet to identify its identity. However, a Miles Austin sighting, a Dez Bryant sighting, and this game should get away from Carolina quickly. But that's what should happen. But it's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is Camden is going to find a way to keep Carolina in this football game and find a way to get it done. That is probably the unfortunate fact for Dallas. Baltimore at Houston. By a touchdown, purely based on the depletion of the Baltimore defense. However, Suggs has been, and this was the breaking news, Terrell Suggs is active for today's game, which means it'll be a little bit more challenging. But no Ed Reed, no Ray Lewis. I don't know how Baltimore can handle it in Houston in a controlled environment. Yeah, that's a Texans win. The question is how big the gap will be. Venture, it's probably a 5-point spread. Probably could easily take. Give 7 and be okay with that one. Cleveland and Indianapolis. This is going to be fun. Indianapolis is not as bad as people thought they were. They just found out with a rookie quarterback. And Cleveland played a really good half of football against Pittsburgh before becoming Cleveland again. And now going to Indianapolis where it's a controlled environment, don't be surprised if this game actually winds up being really, really tight. You know, Cleveland's finally got off the schneid now, winning last week against Cincinnati. So why not? Why not Cleveland Indianapolis? Why not have a Donnybrook? Why not have a shootout? Now, Cleveland's shootout, but they can score. They can put some points up. So don't be surprised. I think Indianapolis wins this football game, but I think it'll be close. You know, Cleveland probably, if you can get 3 to 4 points out of Cleveland, maybe you take that bet. Otherwise, you take Indy and give the points. Arizona at Minnesota. Arizona's got major league quarterback issues. Kevin Cobb is out. Skelton is in. Minnesota's at home. Adrian Peterson sits there. Yeah, you like Percy Harvin, Christian Ponder, and Adrian Peterson to win this game at home. The Redskins going to the Giants. A lot of people seem to think this will be the Giants game that they lay the egg. A lot of people feel that way. With RG3 coming there, the Giants have not seen that kind of athleticism and speed. Next to a younger Michael Vick in some time, that this may be the game. But this is the New York Giants at home in that stadium. It's cold. It's blustery today. You know, the Giants and, you know, give the 5 points. Green Bay at St. Louis. Expect Green Bay to put up a ton of points. Expect St. Louis to win for this game. Try it as thick as possible. Green Bay probably wins this game 27-19. Something in that ballpark. New Orleans at Tampa Bay. The Saints off the bye week after getting off the schneid, having a win now, should go into Tampa Bay, and they should be ready. Josh Freeman will make it fun. He'll make it interesting. But in the end, New Orleans probably wins this game 30-27. The New York Jets at the New England Patriots. The Jets should have absolutely no shot in this game whatsoever, but you know, you never go up against the wounded dog because you never know what you're going to get. And the Jets truly wounded right now. But New England should handle this game. I won't say with relative ease, but they should definitely take care of business. The Patriots by 8 in this one. The Jacksonville Jaguars at Oakland. Well, this is the no one cares game except fans of these particular teams. Oakland should handle this relatively easy. It's a 4:25 start and the late game start. Oakland should win this game easily by 7. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. This one should be fun. The Bengals' defense is good. Pittsburgh's offense is a little banged up. Ben is still beginning to find ways to win. Mike Wallace is there. But I think you're going to see the Dalton-AJ Green combination come to the forefront. That's the Sunday night game. So get your popcorn ready. Sit down and enjoy it. And then, of course, the Monday night affair. Detroit goes to Chicago. Every pundit I've ever talked to believes that this is just another step for Chicago on its way to winning a division title. And competing in the playoffs. But the Lions have proven to be resilient, and Matthew Stafford in that fourth quarter performance that he's kind of established now over the last few years is impressive. So now the question comes, can he pull it off? I mean, the Lions will no doubt be down in this game at some point. Will they be down by 4, 5, or 14? Cutler in that offense has shown they can put up points. The defense has shown they can put up points. The special teams can put up points. You know, if the Bears be the Bears, they're going to put up have an opportunity to put up points in every possible category, and that's what makes them the team they are at 4-1 right now, trying to get to 5-1. The Bears get that one to the points. 5 minutes left in the ride as we shut this thing down for week 7 of the National Football League. Congratulations to the Detroit Tigers for taking out the Yankees. Congratulations to, if the Fever get one more game, they'll be champions of the WNBA. Anger still lies with the NHL as they have kind of screwed the pooch on the rest of us who are fans of what is the not only the fastest game on ice, but just an all-around great game that they're basically holding back from the fandom. And it's just a shame, and it's shameful, and they should be ashamed of themselves. To my friends in Richland Park, Mrs. Moore, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Happy birthday to Crystal. Crystal Williams, my little Zumba princess, and today is her birthday. Much love to all of you around this world who support the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports. And that's going to really do it for us. Again, if you're getting ready for your football, you got a few minutes to kind of ramp things up and get ready for what we hope is a great day of football. I know I've got some things that I've got to get done today, so I'm going to bid you adieu. Have yourselves a great day. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll see you next